This to me feels like this is my daily medicine. Like this is my daily pill of joy, of community, of antidepressant, and belonging.
Welcome to the Guides Gone Wild podcast. What is Guides Gone Wild, you ask? This is where you'll fill your ears and minds with the stories of everyday, extraordinary women who will inspire you to take your outdoor adventure game to the next level. Whether you're starting your journey from the couch or the trailhead, this is the place for you, so let's get a little wild. Welcome to Guides Gone Wild. This is Jen, and in case you're new here, this is my podcast where I talk to some of the most fun and inspiring women who are guiding and doing cool stuff in the outdoors. Today's guest is very apropos given those parameters and the wacky weather summer this has been. Water everywhere and still so steamy hot in September. Amy Hopkins is the founder of Saltwater Mountain Co., a cold water dipping and wellness outfitter based in York, Maine. So I was stoked to talk to her, hoping that even just more thinking about all the cold water would translate into cooling me down in my stupidly hot and humid old house. And we do indeed talk a lot about cold water dipping today, but we also talk about so much more. Amy brings a unique compendium of skills and life experiences to her latest entrepreneurial endeavor, which should serve as great inspiration for all of us. Basically, a reminder that it's really never too late to change your mind and try some new and different things. This message is very timely too. I'm hoping my high school senior will listen to this, even though I know she won't, and realize she doesn't have to have her whole life figured out at 17. Plenty of opportunities to expand, grow, and pivot to come. And bottom line, trying something new and challenging yourself with a little discomfort can have some hugely positive effects on your mental health. But don't just take it from me. Let's dip down to Rise Up with Amy Hopkins of Saltwater Mountain Co. We're rocking and rolling. Amy Hopkins, Saltwater Mountain Company. Thank you for joining me this beautiful,
so much,
hot as heck, 18th day in a row morning.
Hottest day of the summer as we head into fall.
I know. Yeah, it's hard to kind of think about fall when, I don't know. This is these are when I really need to doubly work my gratitude of living in this area because I don't like being really cold. I don't like being really hot. Yes. I just like it in the middle, but yes. We do have a lot of middle days. Today's just not one of them.
Well, being comfortable in the cold has got me comfortable with being in the hot. So, and vice versa.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited.
I really like the shoulder seasons. And so this has helped me get into those main seasons that are just a little extreme.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to talk about that because I keep meaning to maybe start this type of a practice that we're going to talk about with you. And okay. I just can't get into it. I haven't been in the ocean water once all summer.
I get it. I was not a summer.
I live right there. Ever. I'm like, not maybe as close as you, but I'm like one town away. I'm like, what the
right?
heck? Anyway, so let's back up. So yeah. I got introduced to Amy. Amy does some cold water dipping excursion-y type things in Southern Maine. We talked a long, long time ago to the two Maine mermaids that were up more in the Portland area. Amy is based in York, which is where good old friend of the pod, Trish, lives. And I think you met Trish at the beach or something. And
yes,
texted me, and she's like, "You have to meet this woman. You have to talk to her."
Oh, yeah, we're neighbors actually. So we met like walking dogs, and then saw her at the beach, and it was a beautiful coincidence to run into.
Awesome.
Her
that. Well, she and I we keep like exchanging texts about getting up to one of these dips. Neither of us is much of a morning person, so we're like. Waiting for
we'll
an evening
get
one
you. We'll get
the
you
rip tide when the rip tides aren't totally crazy, but
but I
would like to back up and just get to know you a little bit more because you know, obviously, like everybody that I ever do a deep dive on the internet, you find out they've got like 90 billion interesting aspects to their personality. So before there was Saltwater Mountain Company, there was a lot of other stuff in your life. So tell me a little bit about you, your background in the outdoors, your origin story, why you even decided to, why dipping is important to you.
Yeah.
All that.
Thank Boom. You, Jen. I'm
You're
so
up.
Excited to share. And I do love telling my story. So I appreciate you being so open to hearing it. And I guess immediately I want to back up to when I was at UNH. I went to University of New Hampshire for my undergrad and was a nursing major. But before I even knew I wanted to do that, I was really introduced to the concept of belonging. I grew up in a small town in Maine, small high school. And so I went to UNH, and for me, it was a large school. And my whole freshman year, I was like, I'm just not finding my people necessarily easily, which I know is common. And so at the end of that freshman year, I joined the Outing Club. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. And that appeals to me. And
yeah, why did you pick that over all the other activities you could potentially do to meet people?
It's a great question. I know there was something outdoorsy and comforting and welcoming. I was really welcomed by whatever the announcement was to the upcoming trips that I could sign up for. And I remember there were two. I wanted to go right to the biggest trips. I wanted to go to the spring break trip, which was a caving trip in West Virginia. And I wanted to go to the Go West trip, which was, you know, a 3-week road trip out to South Dakota and Wyoming. And it was like leaving on my birthday in May at the end of the year. And I was like, ooh, I want to do that. Like, I wanted to just do something big to kind of counteract this, like, where am I? Who am I? And I think that's going to be it. And
that's so a sweet outing club. Our outing club went to like a cabin, you know, a half an hour away in the woods that like was very similar to where we were going to college.
Right.
Like, damn, caving?
Yeah, awesome. I know. And it toted itself on being, I think, well, it was the largest and I think still is student-led club at the university. So, you know, you go on these sort of trips and you're 19 and 20 years old and you just bond instantly with the people on the trip, right? So I was, again, it comes down to that word belonging. And I think this is where the origin of all of this current stuff came from. I just was like, wow, I've never felt so welcomed, so accepted into a group in, you know, so far at college over this year, you know, into a group that didn't even feel like a group. It was so inclusive. It was so open. And, you know, the conversations and the outings were inherently fascinating and beautiful. And so came back from that trip, obviously, you know, with some new best friends and was psyched. I was like, okay, now I want to be a leader. You know, now I want to lead those trips. So, you know, the short story was that's what I did. And so really that was such a pivotal point for me and my college experience and my personal experience and just finding that the outdoors had so much to offer, you know, and it was a chem-free, alcohol-free club. And it just took that bullshit out of the way. So it was really real. It was very real for me. So I was comforted. I was welcomed. And I was enriched by all these outdoor experiences that I was like, wow, okay, yeah, backpacking, hiking, rock climbing, spelunking. You know, I didn't even know what that word was before I caved. I don't think I need to go caving again, just as a side note.
Yeah.
But everything else I fell in love with. And the growth, you know, and development from that was incredible. So that, I keep thinking about that because that really was my origin. I always simultaneously have been interested in birth and always believed I wanted to be a midwife and had a RA freshman year that was a huge inspiration to me. She was a nursing major. And so I loved her and I loved what she did. And I said, I'm going to do that. So I became a nursing major, went through the nursing program and did several years of labor and delivery nursing. I did not go to be a midwife. I was sort of conflicted with how do you give so much of yourself and take care of yourself at the same time? I was like, whoa, this is not balanced. So I was working, actually, we were living, my boyfriend at the time and I, now my husband, we were living in Colorado. And I was being a labor and delivery nurse out there. And of course, engrossed in all the nature, you know, that Boulder, Colorado has to offer. And so loving that, but also at the same time being like, whoa, this night shift thing isn't really healthy. And I'm not eating well and drinking well. And I think I need a little perspective. And so again, I was sort of like, where are my people? Where's my thing? And so I took a massage class out there, a prenatal massage class, and I was totally hooked, enrolled in the school like the next week and said, I think this is what I want to do. And so I became I sort of shifted to all the holistic versions of what I was doing. So I became a childbirth educator, a doula, a prenatal yoga instructor, prenatal massage therapist, and slowly kind of left nursing a little bit and just did that. So I had my own massage practice, and then, you know, realized, wow, I can take care of myself so much easier now that I have this practice. And I'm living in this place where I can be outdoors 300 days out of the year. And so that was just a beautiful professional step for me. Then we knew we wanted to move back east to start a family. So when we did, I continued working. I did get a job again as a labor and delivery nurse, but was like, you know, I really miss massage. I want to get back to that. I miss teaching yoga. And long story short, left nursing and started a wellness studio of my own and had practitioners join me, some wonderful colleagues, and I did massage and yoga and had some wonderful complementary, you know, therapies around me. And fast forward 10 years and COVID hit, and was dealing with just some hard things in my life as well. Both my parents passed away around that time. The business had to close. And like everyone, sort of like, what is going to help me here? And It was January 1st of 2021. And I said to my girlfriend, I said, let's go into the ocean. I said, people do that on New Year's Day. It sounds like a great idea, because really, what the hell else are we going to do? Which was like a common theme on the daily, you know, during that time.
Right.
So we went, and it was exhilarating and quick and fun. And I remember getting out and feeling like, wow, that felt really good. And then the next day, I was like, wow, that felt really good. I need to go back and do that again. And so I did, and I didn't stop. And so the whole month of January, I did it every day. And at the end of the month, I thought, you know, maybe that was just a January thing. That was just a cool month-long daily ritual. And took a few days off in February. And I was like, I don't feel so good. You know, my mood started to plummet again, just kind of, you know, flatline. And even everyone around me was like, yeah, maybe you should go back in the ocean. And so I did, and I didn't really stop. And I, you know, I had friends kind of join me. And then eventually I said, you know what, I'm going to start an Instagram page. So I did, so that I could post, you know, when I was going to be dipping, so we could do it as a community. And simultaneously, I was sort of feeling like reaching the end of my massage career. And I've always sort of done my current job, my current profession has always sort of matched where I am in life and what's sort of what I'm in the mood to do, frankly, and what's sort of calling to me. And so I said, you know what, this seems, the cold water and how it's helping me in my grief. And that was what it initially was. It really was, you know, and I wrote about this, I think, on the website, as a just, it was so balancing for me, so profoundly balancing, because the intensity of the cold matched the intensity of the grief, and nothing else in nature or anywhere could do that. And so I was like finding that in nature in a way that blew my mind and also did not surprise me at the same time, you know. It sort of made everything I've learned in my holistic health background kind of come into, like, really come in front of my face, but I could feel it on a cellular level. And so that was one piece of it. And then, as I said, I was, you know, ending my massage career and realized, wow, this is about breath and birth, you know, the, like, my labor and delivery nursing past, this is like touch. This is actually extreme contact and touch that the ocean is actually doing to me. So they got the massage piece in there, and it's yoga. It's walking and posing mindfully as you're in the water and dealing with this deep respect for something much larger than you. And so it all just made perfect sense. And I said, well, this is what I want to do next in my career. And of course, even in my head, I'm like, well, how is that a career? You know, and I had heard of people doing this all over the world, you know, but I was really thinking about how it was helping me and how it was helping people in my community. And here we are in Maine and the outdoors. and all the things that COVID had just stripped from us. And so that's how I came up with my mission. It felt very collective, but very personal. And that is to embrace women's empowerment, support mental health, and build community. And those were three things that spoke to me so primally and so deeply, and also things I knew that my parents really stood for. So that was just the added bonus of like, wow, I am so motivated by this. And there's something here, you know, and I'm not one to necessarily read all the studies and read all the books, and I appreciate them and want the info and, you know, have taken it in bite-sized pieces. And now have really dove in quite a bit into that. But I, because my experience was feeling it first before reading about it or learning the facts of the science and the studies, which aren't that many, but is now there, which is so cool. I thought this is a really an experiential experience. And this is helping me and now so many people that have started doing this with me so much that I believe it. I believe in it. I believe it because it's, I'm feeling it, you know? And so reading about it and learning about what the current science says about it is actually really cool because it just validates what I already have experienced.
Yeah. So, I was going to ask you about that because you have a clinical background. I was wondering, you know, how much of that played into it, or it sounds like it was much more intuitive on your part of just kind of being at a point where you were listening to your body and you knew it felt good and you didn't really know why, but you just were going to keep doing it. How do you think others that, you know, and the community aspect of it seems to fall into place once you kind of put yourself out there and say that you're doing something, because there is enough curiosity and there are enough people that are just looking for something in many different ways that yes. somehow find their way to this because it's getting a little bit more press. But of the groups, you know, of the community that has kind of coalesced around what it is you're doing there, how many people do you think are coming to it because they heard about it on, you know, Tim Ferriss podcast versus how many people are like, oh my God, I'm struggling with XYZ and a friend of mine told me to try this and, you know, and like, and then why do they keep coming back? And is there any difference yeah. between the people that approach it scientifically versus yeah. the people who approach it intuitively that, you know, yeah. make them
yeah,
I, customers or whatever.
Great question. I think the latter. I think they're coming because their friends said, oh my God, you have to do this. And oh my God, you know, and I just learned everyone is suffering on some level. It might be minor, it might be major. So in addition to all the wonderful things that may or may not be going on in your life, there's suffering. So it's like, if we just know that. So,
but it's interesting that you would pick suffering to address suffering. Cause to me,
yeah.
really freaking cold.
Yes.
Comes out of the gate as suffering. So I'm like, at what point does it transition? And just tell me a little bit about that process. Cause I'm like, I hear people talk about it and I'm fairly confident yes. I could get there, but I just can't get past what it feels
yes.
like.
On yes. So that has to do with conditioning and the fact that we're human, right? Like freezing cold water is not intuitively necessarily appealing, right? It sounds miserable, especially when you're sort of shocked by it or forced into it or just thinking about it. Like thinking about it is not nice, you know, it's not appealing.
Except for today.
Except for today. Exactly.
I'm like, I wish I was in right now.
I wish I was in cold water today. And I remember going into a cold tub at a wellness center one time before I even approached any of this and being like, oh my God, that's too much. That's miserable. I can't do that. I got halfway in and I got out, you know? And that's why now I realize this is a practice versus a plunge. You know, it's easy with a huge group, New Year's Day, run in, run out. It's so doable, you know, positive peer pressure. It's great. I would say if most people that talk about a lot that it's miserable to them, the idea of being cold is miserable. But they talk to me a lot about that are often the ones that there is a curiosity there. There's something, it's on their brain. It's pulling them. And those are the people that I find that after I've gone in with them multiple times, they're like, oh yeah, this is it. I get it now.
Yeah. So that's a great yeah. actual way to model it. So tell me how your community dip experience or the experiences that you're hosting now differs from that. Everyone shows up hungover at the beach on New Year's Day and runs in and runs out.
Exactly. Screaming.
Yeah.
So really, and that's what I said. Yeah. So the plunge versus the practice. And that's where sort of the yogic piece of it comes in the community. So you have this group thing that you're doing. You automatically feel like a belonging. And there's a huge acceptance piece, right? I mean, this is not talked about, but it's very much on people's minds. Coming to the beach in the winter in your bathing suit is not necessarily a comfortable experience for a lot of people. It's also part of the reason I'm doing it. Like, I want that to change, you know, and I don't know if I have the power to change that, but I have the power to be an example to that. So that's one piece. It's inviting and it's welcoming and it's authentically so. Everyone there, you know, if you're going to do something that extreme, you're really there for a reason. You are showing up on purpose and by your choice. And you know, like, wow, I'm here to experience something that I think is really big and is apparently going to make me feel great. So the plunge and the rush and the jumping in and out, to me, it's what you sort of see more of. It's more the advertised version. It's a little bit more the masculine version. And I mean that just in like a masculine feminine energy. And it's not worse necessarily. It's just very different. So that is a piece that's very, I would call maybe more our American culture of like, wow, that's a cool trend. I want a challenge. I can do that. I'm going to do something hard and then I'm going to be done with it, you know, or maybe people stick with it. That's always a thing. But there's something about like this feats of strength mentality.
Yeah, finding a life hack. Yeah, doing it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Quick solution. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas like this to me feels like this is my daily medicine. Like this is my daily pill of joy, of community, of antidepressant and belonging, you know, which are just so key things to happiness. So I hope that I'm answering your question. I feel like they're two different animals. And so what appeals, I think, and it's, you know, the community dips are not just for women, but I tend to always work with women and be around women, and women's health is my background. So I do think I attract women in that way. And I also believe it's extremely primal and women. And I'd say, you know, midlife is a weird word and it's a huge range. We don't know what the range is, but it attracts women, I think, as they're stepping into their power. And that's every woman in 2023. And that's every person as well. But there's something happening with the practice of walking in that feels very like, wow, we're a team. We're rising up together. We're here for a way bigger purpose, but we don't even have to talk about it, you know, but there's this real underlying bonding, underlying knowledge that this is really important. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I can definitely see how you would get, I mean, I think being, especially by the ocean, gives you a little bit of a internal kind of, you can feel like an energy that you don't feel in other parts of the world.
Absolutely.
But I'm just, I was just trying to evoke kind of what your community experience is like how, and maybe even just getting into the technical aspects of like how it unfolds when you're trying to get in.
Yeah.
You know, as somebody who maybe can't envision getting in past their knees ever because, like,
yes,
you know,
soon, yes,
it's
yes.
Like, yeah, I'll try to go in slow. But then, you know, anyone who's ever tried to walk in the water slow knows there's a couple of key places where, like, oof,
yes,
it's hard to get over that hump. So, like, what are you guys doing together to get yes. in that far?
Great question. So the community dips are a little more casual. I don't put a lot of structure and leadership necessarily into a guided experience as much as I do maybe some of the sort of like experiences that people can pay for and sign up for. But that being said, absolutely. So we meet, we circle up, we just have a little bit of intention. I often go over like the ABCs of dipping really quickly. You know, you want to always breathe. Breathing is really important. It's easy to not breathe. And like the breathing is what shifts us from like this, I can't do this, to, oh, okay, I'm present and I can do this. The B is having a buddy, especially in the winter. it's cold, if the waves are present, it's just safety is a huge concern of mine. So in the water, I'm pretty conservative with staying in the shallowest parts when possible and, you know, not doing anything crazy. I put air quotes around that because people would call this whole thing crazy. And, you know, letting people know less is more. Not everyone should dip the same amount. We're talking, you know, maybe you're in there for 5 seconds. Maybe you're in there for 30 seconds. But if it's your first time, you should not be in there for 4 minutes, you know. So there is an adaptation process that the body has to do. So you want it to be brief. And usually, you know, I kind of liken it to supporting a woman during birth, because there is the most important thing is just a presence. Like for me, I want to be present with people as they go in. I believe that they already know how to do it. And I think if they believe, if they know someone believes they can do it, then they can do it. That being said, we chat. I might give them a little tip about dropping their shoulders as you exhale into the water. A little mantra for me is like, what if this felt good? What if this cold, what if I'm just conditioned to think this is feeling bad? Like, what if this was feeling really good? And it's a totally different vibe and a relaxation that occurs when I do that. It's also exhilarating, and it is a fun challenge to go those 3 inches, you know, over your belly button. Like, that's intense. And often we hold hands. You know, sometimes we hold hands because it's so natural and it's kid-like. You know, I think you get near the ocean, you get playful, and you become a kid again, which is another cool piece of this. And again, all these barriers, they go out the window, you know, and all of a sudden we're holding hands because we're helping each other. That's what women do. They help each other over the wet, slippery rocks. And then they help each other go in because, oh yeah, last week was my first dip and I was so scared. And now I'm going to help you in. So there's this, like, you might not even know the person, but it's so easy and not uncomfortable, I'm generalizing, to hold hands with other people, you know, whereas in other settings, it might be a little awkward, you know? So it feels like you're sort of carrying people over this threshold of just a little fear. And it should be fearful. It should be a little fearful because you're doing something that your body naturally wants to protect you from, you know? So it's these little bits of stress on the body, but you're doing it super mindfully. You're doing it with support and you're doing it with intention. And so when we walk in, there's sort of this, okay, yeah, this is stressful, but a lot of things in my life are stressful. So how am I reacting? So it's a tool. It's a tool for ways to react in other areas of your life. And that has been the coolest thing to notice.
Yeah, I'm curious about, and I'm sure that some of this is kind of, you know, individual, but like, what do you feel like? I don't know if you can even put this into words, but you were talking about how it would make you feel better when you got out and like day after day, and you would feel it when you stopped going in. Like, what are the physical and maybe even, you know, the emotional or mental long tail effects when you get out? I mean, I would imagine at first you get out and there's this rush to get warm again, especially in the winter. But how does that evolve over the course of the day? Like, do you get really tired? Do you get, you know?
Yeah. So like anything extreme to the body, you know, an ideal situation is that you are nourished, right? You're hydrated. You've eaten that day. You know, you have a fairly healthy health history, you know, if people have extreme blood pressure issues or heart conditions, I always want to know about that beforehand because this isn't for everybody, but I believe pieces of it are can be for everybody if they're interested, you know, pieces of it. So it doesn't mean you go plunge necessarily, but how can cold exposure help you if you're interested in dipping in, you know? So that's very individual. But in general, when you go into the cold water like that, there is your adrenaline and your noradrenaline, those catecholamines, those go up. They rise up and they are super active. They're pumped up and your nervous system is high. Slowly, if you start to control your breath, what happens is your nervous system starts to shift into present and rest and relax mode. And you start to realize you're safe. People ask what temperature should it be? You know, it's like, well, the research is clear to me and is stated wonderfully by some wonderful researchers that the temperature should be, you feel like, wow, this is uncomfortable, but I feel safe. And that's an interesting line.
Yeah. Like that's, well, I would imagine, to your point, like the breath work probably plays into that. You know, I mean, until, if you can breathe into it, it will eventually train your body that you're safe, right? Is that?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The breath is everything.
So you might start at 60 and you might end at 50,
exactly,
48 or something.
Exactly. And so you're really dealing with a chemical situation in the body, right? Like these catecholamines have released, and then those cause the dopamine to release. And so you get this reward pleasure situation happening. And it actually, there's a mood increase, and I will correct myself if I'm wrong here, but I believe it's a like 250% increase in mood
wow.
chemicals, endorphins. Yeah. And that has been likened to the same high as cocaine, except there's no crash. So it's a lingering several hours. And so you literally feel like $1 million. And that's going to make you want to do it again.
Yeah. No jail time.
Yeah, exactly. there can be something called after drop where ultimately this does sort of lower the blood pressure. Now, hopefully, and most often in like a healthy way, but people, if you stay in too long or if it's too cold for you, or how do you warm up after? How do you not warm up after? How do you nourish yourself? You know, are you still scared? Are you dizzy? Like all those things. We don't see a lot of that, fortunately, but that is real. So we just try to prevent that from even happening. So that's something that can happen. But it's what keeps people coming back, I think, is like the exhilaration and the high that feels so natural. And it's not just, I mean, it's clearly the chemicals in the body, but there is, you start to realize, oh, the power of the ocean and the salt water and the rhythm and the waves and the, there is something so, you know, even just being buoyant, you're being held. I mean, it's like a ridiculous amount of support, people around you, and then the water holding you, and this feeling of like, and you were just saying like, you must want to warm up right when you get out. And what is so surprising is, you know, February dips, you think like, oh, we're just running to our car. If it's really windy, we're running to our car. But it can be really, really cold, not too bad with the wind, and you get out and you are shocked at how, you know, the body's warming itself immediately because it wants to balance, right? We want to maintain homeostasis. So the body is doing everything it can to try to keep you warm. And so you do get a little warming effect, but it is important to move the body. So warming up from the inside out. Yes, we go to our warm cars and we drink our warm tea, and those are all really important things to do. We throw on our robes and whatnot. But moving and the energy of being together and coming out of the ocean excited, and everyone, I believe everyone would tell you that comes to these dips, I never regret a dip. I mean, you just, you know, you can feel like kind of blah in your day. You go and you get this burst, you know, that is, and dipping alone, we don't recommend dipping alone in the cold water. It is a completely different experience. You know, even if you're dipping alone safely, there's people by you, people know where you are. It is a very different experience. So I think a lot of this is really the part we can't put into words is the people that you're doing this with. It's unspoken, you know, it's like, you feel like you know each other really deeply, even if you don't.
Yeah. Well, you definitely know they share a crazy gene with you. So
exactly.
I shouldn't use that terminology, but you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, I think I'm appealed. I find this appealing or interesting, and you'll find this appealing.
Yeah.
So we have that in common, if nothing.
Yeah. Else, so. And a little plug for the outdoors. I mean, you can't argue with the fact that it's so much better than the cold shower. You know, a lot of people will take cold showers as a great way to get a lot of the physical benefits from the cold in your body. But it's hard for me. Cold showers are really hard for me because it's a cold shower. You know, it's like, we're conditioned to.
You're somewhere that has the option for a hot shower.
Exactly. So like, exactly.
Why am I doing this to myself?
That's right. That's right. And you can control the knob. You know what I'm saying? And you can't control the knob on the ocean, but you can control your breath. And it's funny, when I'm in the shower, I'm much more apt to control the knob than my breath. You know, so it's like, oh, if we can be put into a position where we have to use our breath, that is the best life lesson we could possibly get.
Yeah. So, and the breathing is the goal to kind of, the goal is kind of to slow it down, I would imagine, right? Because, you know, I was immediately thinking of times when I'm inadvertently stuck in a cold shower because, you know, for whatever reason, the hot water isn't working, but you really need to get clean. But it's like, those are the times that I'm basically hyperventilating because I'm just like, like gasping.
Exactly.
And that's kind of like when I try to go in really cold water.
Yeah, inhaling through the nose and exhaling through the mouth, that, you know, gets you right into that parasympathetic nervous system, which is that rest meditative state where you can.
So people like me that are just freaks about water and cold and the combination of such, how many times do you find they need to go and do this before they start to kind of hit their stride and be a little bit, well, better is the wrong word to use, but like, it becomes like something, you know, if you continue to go because you're kind of committed to trying to make this work for you.
Yeah.
And obviously there must be something positive that comes out of it or else you wouldn't keep going. But like, at what point do the real freaks like me start being like, okay, like this is under control?
Yeah. I would say, to put a number on it, 3 times. I think, honestly, the people that have joined our dips once, they usually come right back. You know, it's usually like an instant comeback, but that's not true for everybody. And I think, you know, some people, their first dip is the coldest, windiest dip of the year. And I tell them, come back. If you came today, you can do anything.
Right.
And there's something I just believe magical about the number 3, because the first time you're just, where is it? Where is this place? Who are these people? You know, it can be intimidating. I mean, I strive for that never to be a word that people feel coming to these, but I know
there is so much new to it. Yeah.
There's so much new. It's like, am I doing it right? You know, am I wearing the right thing? Am I parking in the right place? Is this the right, you know? So there's a lot of petty stuff that first time. Second time, right? You're a little bit like, all right,
yeah,
I know
you can park. Your brain space on the actual experience. Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, I didn't know it was going to be that cold. So maybe I will bring my gloves and I will wear my booties and I will, you know, so second time is like, okay. But the third time is sort of like, I think you're actually in the experience, you know, you're having your experience in an ideal situation.
Yeah. That makes such good sense. So I love it. So tell me about, you know, the retreat part of what it is you're doing and like where you're hoping that's going to go and kind of what those experiences are like. So let's dive in a little bit more to all the other aspects of your business. Cause there's obviously, you know, the community dip, you can kind of dip your toe into what it is that you offer, but there's a lot of other stuff that you can get involved in. So let's talk a little bit about that.
So I love incorporating my massage and my yoga. So I don't sort of not losing that entirely. That's sort of a piece of me. So one thing I'm offering is little dip experiences. So those, especially in the summer, it's nice because they can be on the beach, but we do, might do a yoga class, you know, may or may not have a theme associated with it. Certainly perimenopause is a huge, and women's health is a huge theme that I'm about to kind of enter into professionally and personally. So that feels like a big one coming up, but it's just, my classes are sort of very intuitive and sort of sensual, just about feeling and restorative and being in your body, being embodied. And then, you know, we do a yoga type of class, maybe there's some hands-on touch and then a dip to follow. So the dip is always sort of at the end to seal everything in, to be a well-rounded experience around why we're doing this, talking about the mission. So what are your superpowers as a woman? And like, you know, instead of all the shit, what's the good stuff, you know, and talking highly about ourselves. That's really important for me to encourage that in women. So that's an offering. And then I take those, they could be, you know, a 3-hour experience, or that could be a 3-day experience, you know, at a cabin on a lake, for example. We went cross country this summer to sort of spread the brand in places that I love. And, you know, the mountain part of this is sort of named after Colorado, because that's another one of my loves. And, you know, there's a lot of wonderful cold water in the mountains. So took this to kind of meet some other dipping groups along the way that we've met over social media and connect with them personally and just around this practice. You know, we have some merch that we've kind of, you know, put our brand on, and that's going to also grow. The dip experiences out there were amazing, because sort of kind of hooking up with the mental health organizations locally. So I'm kind of playing with that, with how to get involved in obviously supporting, having the people that are signed up for the dip event aware of what the mental health services are in their community. National Alliance for Mental Illness is one that I'm particularly working with. And then that sort of has stemmed into, can we do this for groups of young women and men that are struggling, that this, you know, what populations could this help with? What populations is this not appropriate for? So I'm kind of doing some research on that. And then hooking up with retreat centers, one in the Midcoast, Maine in particular, and going to be, and I do dipping events during their weekend women retreats.
Yeah, Sarah's actually from my area originally, she isn't. She's from Maine, but then she lived in Newburyport for a long time. So friends who know her pretty well. So yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful spot they're at.
It's a magical place. Yeah. So grateful to be connected with them. And
we're talking about the Topsail Farm Petite Pauses. So
yes, Topsail Farm Petite Pauses. I think
are there one or two left this season, maybe?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I think ours is the last one in October. There's a couple in September, and then ours is the last weekend in October. I think there are a few spots left.
And they are on a tidal river, right? So
yes. Yeah. Yep. Okay. On the Domic River. Yep. Yep. And so we kind of have to play with the tides. Yep. And it's kind of cool because it's a very raw bottom, and you know, you get really in the nature part of it, in such a beautiful scenery there. And whole vibe of the farm, you know, so cool. So those retreats are going to continue. We're actually planning the 2024 ones now. And, you know, I have a plan to go to Iceland in May, just to kind of scope out some dipping spots there. And, you know, one of my favorite things is just to go places and meet people that do this and see what can come out of it. So this feels, you know, the business is still in its infancy in some ways. And I'm someone who likes to really kind of go for it and go all out. And I have really appreciated staying steady and feeling out different avenues. I love doing these for businesses. So like staff bonding or team building retreats are really cool, just because often they're looking for creative things that are really different. And there's a conference that Maine Outdoor Brands is putting on at the Samoset in November. And so I'll be doing that. And we're trying to plan a dip event there during that, and possibly nice. A talk as well.
Yep. That's cool. That was a great event. I went to the one last year, and Samoset's a little far, right? Cause I would, yes. Last year it was in Portland, and, but it is a great event. So that's
awesome. So great to hear. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Yeah. Such good people. So there's I always have a lot of irons in the fire, and I sort of am doing this, and it's feeling really good. There's a company, Dry Robe, that we have ordered and branded our, you know, our dipping robes.
Yeah. I noticed that. And that's cool, because that seems like that's kind of a key component. And I think that would be something that would stop a lot of people in their tracks of like, oh, how am I going to get warm after? And like, this looks intimidating to me. What do I get? There's so many products.
Yes,
and now you're just like, here you go. And by the way.
Yes. And so much learning, right? When you're doing this, it's like, what? And you don't want to be messing with stuff. Like, the less messing, the better. And so I leave my house in a bathing suit, booties, and robe. I dip and I come back in the bathing suit, booties, and robe. I don't change in the parking lot. I don't have to take booties on and off. That has been a dream. Now, I'm pretty lucky to live just a few miles, from my dipping spot, but I've learned a lot about what to wear and what not to wear.
Yeah, I bet.
That is pretty key. And I love, you know, people love to buy merch and people love, but I want it to be something, you know, you want to wear something that you feel really good wearing in all the ways. Like, wow, this is doing the job. But it also is like, yeah, I'm proud to wear this because this has made me feel really good. You know, this is something I really believe in.
Yeah. I will say the dry robe looks like it could be used almost like a comfy around the campfire too. You just don't want to get close to the ashes.
I've got to tell you that you are absolutely right. So I think anyone that lives in this in New England, right, or other places too, they're like, oh, I could wear that. You know, I've worn it in the summer. In Maine, you just don't know what you're going to get. It's like the ultimate raincoat. It's the ultimate walk your dog when you don't feel like putting more clothes on or whatever. It's the ultimate campfire, right? When you don't have a blanket or whatever. So it is like this, wow, this is an all-purpose robe.
Yeah. Full coverage too. Full coverage. I mean, it looks good. All right. Well, this has been awesome. I'm like super excited. And I talk about doing this all the time. I did attempt to go after I talked to the mermaids. I drove with a friend of mine and our daughters up to Portland one night to do it. And as we got off the highway, a thunderstorm rolled in and it was like lightning and like all kinds of crazy ass weather. So they're like, yeah, we can't do it. And we're like, okay. We made flower wreaths. It was very fun, but I did not actually get to do my cold water dip after all that. And so I'm like, I live, you know, whatever, 3 miles from the ocean myself.
Yes.
And I'm not even that far from you guys. So I got to come up there and just like get it done.
You will.
Because I feel like it's something that would really, but it's good to know. You got to give it 3 times at least.
I really believe that.
I can see that.
Thanks. You know, just the fact that you think about it a lot says a lot. And it means to me, or says to me, that you will do it. And when you do it is not as important, I think, as the fact that you probably will have an amazing experience.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. And even just, I feel like it'll help my focus in other aspects of my life where it is very much wanting right now.
Yes.
Between just my squirrel brain and menopause, whatever the hell I'm going through now, I'm just like, I cannot keep a thought going.
Keep a thought going. And I think that has worst. To be talked about more because we're just, you know, we can't fake it till we make it forever. I mean, there's going to be like some real, you know, yep, I don't know what the word is I'm thinking of. And yep, I need a break. And yep, you know.
And if I can't find my way into meditation, I think this will be the next best thing. It'll be like a more physical way to, because every once in a while you get to it when you're like on a nice long trail or a nice long bike ride and you're just taking it easy and you're like, okay, I'm in the moment, but I need more practice with that. And this seems like you got to get there faster than or else
you're also like right here, you get right to it. You know, it doesn't, there's no wasting time. There's no, it, and I will say it is a meditation. It is a meditation. And I think the most, you know, there's too many of my favorite things about it, but I think a lot of dippers would agree that maybe my favorite thing is that I cannot think about anything else. And I think that's why I don't love the warmer water so much is because it doesn't do what I know the cold can do. So I'm just missing it.
Yeah.
So that presence, I mean, I've never gotten there in my deepest relaxation practices anywhere close. You know, it's like your brain cannot be multitasking. And that to me is the biggest gift of all.
Yeah, it's fascinating because that is very much the same thing that I talked a long time ago, early on, Bonnie Holding, I think, who works with Casting for Recovery. And that's why they take cancer treatment survivor people, women out to fly fish. Because when you're learning to fly fish, you have to be in that state, that flow state. And you just get there and it just wipes everything out, you know, for some short period of time. And so that's awesome. I think that's a really legitimate reason to
That's
great. All right, well, I'm gonna so it's saltwatermountainco.com before I ask you my final question.
Thank you.
And at Dip Down to Rise Up on Instagram. I saw you have a TikTok. I didn't look yet because of course I can't go there because my scroll brain can't take it, but I'm impressed. You know,
yeah, well, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need a few more dips to get that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it seems like this would be good content, you know, screeching and
exactly. But, it is, yeah.
And
it
quick.
It's quick. Exactly. Yeah. I like to let it linger, which TikTok doesn't love that. So I, it's a little issue, but anyways to connect, I love, and I am grateful for it. So, and I'm grateful for your time and your interest. Oh,
well, and no, we're not done yet because need to ask you. My last question, which I try to ask everybody when I remember, is what's your favorite piece of outdoor gear or most useful that you have that cost you less than $50?
Oh, my booties. Neoprene zip-up booties.
Do you have a brand that you like or anything? Because those seem like they would be key to this successful
mission. Well, I have a lot of thoughts on that.
You don't need to share it if you don't want to. But
no, I love sharing it. Ulex is the eco-friendly rubber, so I would prefer to use just Ulex. I need to research a little more. My first booties were Patagonia brand Ulex, but they were not zip-up. And at the time, I couldn't find that brand with zip-up, so which became actually a pretty serious issue. They really need to be for me, and a lot of people agree with that. The easy on, easy off.
Right, right.
Especially if you're doing this every day. So Cressi, C-R-E-S-S-I, is an Italian company, and it's a great price point, and it's a great go-to for a solid booty. And you want it to be thick, like 7 millimeters at least. Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah.
That is a good one. That is a very good one. Total sidebar. People with Raynos, do you have anything that you recommend for them? Because that's become more of a factor as I get older, and it like concerns me a little bit, but I'm like,
yes,
it seems like something that would just be, I get halfway home and like my hands would be like,
yes,
all
it's
white.
It's a real issue. I actually did an Instagram post on that, and I actually just yesterday reposted it on my story because,
all right, I'm going to have to get on that.
Get on that. It's a complicated thing, Raynos, and there could be, you know, if there's underlying, without giving medical advice here, there can be underlying autoimmune disorder things going on, and there might also not be. So sometimes it just occurs and it can be annoying and painful. And I haven't experienced it much. I have experienced some really cold hands in the past. It's been scary. And so I will not, when the waters get colder, will not go in without either like some seriously warm ski gloves, and I just keep my hands out of the water, or the neoprene gloves. They're absolutely essential. But I think if you have Raynos, they're way more, even just that much more essential. But sometimes people still get problems even wearing those, just being in the cold. So I think, again, it's testing the waters. It's like, if you really want to do this, and you consult with your trusted provider on, this is not a practice to see how white my hands can get. You know, this is I'm going to keep them warm, and I'm going to do a little bit of breathing, a little bit of practice for the rest of my body. Definitely wear the booties. That's not even a question. And then I'm going to get out. And if it's, I've heard both. I've heard some people say, wow, it really helps just with circulation in general. So they find that it certainly isn't hurting their Raynos. And then I've heard some people be like, well, some days it's just bad, but you know, I like the benefits so much that I'm going to kind of.
For me, I think it would almost be the after effect, because it's like, I find that it happens like after I do something where I get sweaty in the winter, and then later I'm in my house where I'm not even that cold, but like, that's when I start to, when my body starts cooling down, it's like, then my hands are all messed up.
Yes.
But I have a fuzzy steering wheel for my ride home, so I'm good there.
You do.
Oh, I haven't.
That's key.
It's so cheesy, but it works.
Warm hands is so key, but really warming up and moving them, you know, you just don't want to be tricked. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm going to put my freezing hand right on the heat. And if it's not gradual or natural, it can trick your body into thinking it's hot, which will keep it colder longer. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But the movement, getting the blood moving is number one.
And even just hearing the fact that like, okay, don't put your head and hands in the water, dummy. Like, that's just like simple stuff that I'd be like, oh, well, I'm going, so I have to, you know, go under. It's like, no, you don't.
And that's a great point. I rarely go under these days, you know, compared to what I used to do, or, you know, it can feel amazing to do that. So it's kind of like a special treat, but there's no one says you need to do that. Even the research, it's like up to here, you know, up to your neck. Submerging is just a different ballgame. And we don't want to be holding our breath when we're doing this, you know. So you're breathing out if you're going under, but there's nothing quote unquote wrong with it. It's just take it slowly and mindfully and keep your head and hands out while you're getting used to it, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. That's good. Those are good pro tips. Yeah. Mic drop moments to end this on. So, all right. Awesome. Amy, this has been awesome. I'm so excited now. It did cool me off a little bit, I think.
Good.
Just talking about being cold like that.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll get some thunderstorms later and break the rest of this heat. So, and yes. I'm excited now. I'm going to double down on Trish and we're going to get there and join a dip soon. Cause that sounds
I can't
like
wait.
Fun. Yeah.
It'd I be can't
nice
wait
to meet in person now that we can actually meet in person. So it's time to get on.
It's time to connect and just keep connecting. That's just what I want to do. So Jen, absolutely. I just appreciate what you're doing so much.
Well, thank you. It's good. I just love meeting new people. It's been slow lately and hard to keep at it. You know, it's been a long time, but I do. Wow. It is like the high point of my day, week, month, whenever it is that I have a new conversation. So I'm happy, so happy to spread the word on this. And I think it'll be, and I'm excited to insert myself into yet another new community and start having some fun up in York. So thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Who's ready to join me for some water-based panic attack turn meditation practicing? Make sure to follow Amy's Instagram page at dipdowntoriseup for her schedule of community dips, and be sure to check out the saltwatermountainco.com website for more information on retreat offerings and all the other fun ways Amy is blending her loves of cold water, yoga, body work, and more into uplifting experiences for her growing community. And of course, grab a super cozy Saltwater Mountain Co. dry rope or some other fun merch from her online store while you're there. Check out the show notes for all the links to Amy, plus other fun stuff we mentioned in this episode. And if you're feeling a little more inspired than you were an hour ago, I hope you'll make sure to share this conversation and the Guides Gone Wild podcast with that person in your life who could use a little dipping down and rising up. That's it for now. Thanks for being part of the Guides Gone Wild community. I hope you'll join me again next time. And in the meantime, you know the drill. Whether you're ready to wade in deep or are just starting to think about laying on that little towel in the sand, it doesn't matter. Just get outside and keep getting a little wild.